Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, the third chapter. Let us listen for God's word. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from John chapter 1. Listen for God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God. I have to admit to you all today that it has been very difficult for me to get my head around our theme word for today, given the major disruption we are living in right now. It's been very hard to listen this week to the heartbeat of worship when so many other voices are trying to speak so loudly and so many questions continue to ring in my ears. Do we stay open? Do we close down? Do we care for the poor or let them fend for themselves? Does our ministry only matter when times are good or at all times? How do we reduce community spread? How do we practice social distancing without fostering isolation? Should we gather? And if we do, how do we do that in healthy ways? Who should we blame for all of this? I was supposed to get on an airplane tomorrow for a conference in Florida, but four of my team members declined to travel and the conference was canceled. At the same time, the bottom fell out of the financial markets. What's going to happen to our investments? Schools closed for weeks or in some cases for the rest of the semester. How will our kids continue to learn? And what of the SATs, the regent exams, and graduations? Sports leagues are suspending or canceling their seasons. How will life be different without that background noise to listen to? And then there are the needs of the people. When will we be able to test widely for this virus? And what do we do with what we learn? How do we support those who get paid and only get paid if they work? And what about our ministry? Does our ministry only matter when times are good? What about our values as a church? What does transformational mission and intentional fellowship look like right now for us? How do we continue to minister to the hungry and the homeless? How can we fight back against the social isolation and feelings of panic and desperation that this virus is creating? And deep down, what do we do with the anxiety that we're feeling? The disruption to our lives, the confusion, the mistrust. So much has been bombarding us, so many questions, so many unknowns, so many voices, so much noise. So much has been speaking so loudly at us that it's been hard to listen to much else, including and especially our faith. And yet all of this makes today's theme word, listen, all the more important. It's the next word in our focus this Lenten season on why and how we worship. Worship is the heartbeat of our life and our faith and our life together. We don't attend to our physical needs or our spiritual health only when times are good and life is going smoothly. We take care of ourselves. We nurture our faith. We worship our God in the good times because we know that there will be disruptions and crises in this life. This time that we are in right now, we've been preparing for it as people of faith. Every time we gather for worship, every time we exercise the heartbeat of our faith, we know that life doesn't go the way we want it to all the time. But worship reminds us of an even bigger truth. There is a voice that we've been learning to listen to, a presence, a person, who speaks to us and assures us that our lives are grounded in something bigger than ourselves, especially when life is out of our control. Worship helps us listen to God and God's story of hope, resurrection, and new life, which we need especially at this time. It's been hard to listen to that voice this past week, as so much has changed so rapidly and so suddenly. But if we stop and notice where we are right now in the worship service, the place where we hear God's word read and proclaimed, the invitation of this time in the worship service is to listen. Listen to God's word. Listen for God speaking through the sermon. Listen for the good news of our faith. Listen for Jesus Christ, the living word of God. Everything we have done up to this point in the service has been preparing us for just this moment. Gathering together, beginning the service with praise, repenting of our sin and turning around to walk in God's way, it all leads us toward this moment when we get to hear the good news of grace and hope, peace and joy, and they can settle in our hearts and in our minds as we listen to the word of God for our lives and our faith, and then for our life and our ministry together. All that we have done prepares us right now to hear God speak. We aren't simply listening for 3 points, 4 guidelines for living, 5 goals of a successful church, or 6 ways to live your best life now. We're listening to the good news, the life-giving word of God that raises us from darkness into light, from despair into hope, from anxiety into faith. That's what the writer John wanted us to understand in our second scripture reading today. God does not simply stay far away to communicate through stone tablets. Instead, God sends the word of God to become one of us and shine light in the darkness of this world. God speaks not only through words, but through a person who was sent, a living, breathing human being, the person of Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, to dwell among us and to speak to us, showing us God's love and grace, God's kingdom of justice and peace. And yet the biggest problem that God faced was that God came to God's own people and they didn't receive him. They didn't welcome him. They didn't listen to him. They kept their distance from his good news. I mean, just as God still does today, God wanted to speak a word of hope into the despair of life. God wanted to shine a light on the darkness of isolation. And the people who should have been ready to hear the good news either weren't ready or didn't want to hear it. Either way, John wrote, they didn't listen and continued in darkness. The Apostle Paul knew that his friend Timothy was having a similar kind of problem. The people in Timothy's church weren't listening to him either, and more specifically, the word of God in the scriptures. Getting people to stop long enough to center their lives on something other than anxiety and fear was proving insurmountable. Getting people to listen to the hope of the gospel and what truly makes life worth living was proving to be more struggle than success. It was just too easy for those early Christians, vulnerable to persecution or prejudice, to live in fear. It was too easy to set aside faith and trust. It was too easy to stay ramped up and anxious rather than settling into hearing the word of God and what it means for who we are and how we live. But that is exactly what listening to God's word is all about. As David Graham Bell writes in his book on Presbyterian worship, while the sermon may inspire, enlighten, or even entertain, the purpose of Christian preaching is to help the church listen to the voice of God, know the word made flesh, and follow the spirit of truth. It is to offer the grace and the challenge of the gospel to the people of God. Timothy was inviting his flock, his folks who were struggling with their own life circumstances and their own faith, to listen to the voice of God, to know the word made flesh, to follow the spirit of truth. But they weren't receiving it, and it was beginning to make Timothy doubt. Doubt his training as a person of faith and as a pastor. Doubt that the scriptures made any difference. Doubt even that God was still speaking. This is why Paul wrote to him, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from your childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. It was in his dark time that Paul said to him, don't listen to the doubt and anxiety. Go back to what truly grounds your life. Listen again to the scriptures, the sacred writings of our faith that instruct you for salvation through Christ Jesus. Because that salvation, that good news, that new life will be true no matter what happens in life. This is why we take time in every worship service for reading the Bible and preaching it. As our Book of Common Worship says, the scriptures bear witness to the word of God revealed most fully in Jesus Christ, the word who became flesh and lived among us. Where the word is read and proclaimed, it says, Jesus Christ, the living word, is present by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to invite you today to hear the word of God in the words of scripture, so that you may know the presence of Christ today, in this time we are in. But I'd like to ask you to do what many people in the Bible didn't do. I'd like to ask you to receive it, to open your hearts and minds to not only hear, but to welcome and embrace the life-giving Word of God. Rather than just letting the word rattle around in your head and then fall out somewhere, I invite you to listen to the words of Scripture so that you may know the presence of God in Jesus Christ, who came to bring you and me life and life abundant. The Hebrew word for this kind of active listening, is Shema, to hear or to listen. But Shema is not simply about letting sounds come into our eardrums. Shema means to focus on, to pay attention to, and also to respond. To practice Shema is to say, I will listen, I will receive, and I will respond. To listen and respond today, I would like to invite you now to sit as comfortably as you can with nothing in your hands. And in this space and in this moment, if you would take a few deep breaths, and as you breathe, I invite you to listen again to one sentence in our scripture readings today. As I read it, What is God saying to us in these concerning times? Listen to and receive the word of God from the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. What is God's life-giving word to us today that grounds us in our identity as people of faith and followers of Jesus Christ? The answer starts with what God does. John tells us that God didn't let us become isolated from God or from one another. God didn't practice social distancing. God became one of us, walking among us, speaking words of hope, offering healing, creating community, caring for the vulnerable, all so that we might know the saving love God intends for us and for all of creation through Jesus Christ. To truly hear that good news, to listen to it, to practice Shema is to ask how we will now live in response to that good news. How will we become community for one another, even if we're not physically present with each other? How will we care for the hungry and the homeless? How will we follow Jesus Christ so that others hear and receive this life-giving word through us? We, the faithful, are called to be the answer to those questions. We respect the serious nature of this virus and the challenge it presents, but we do not let it define how we will be the presence of Christ and minister to one another, especially to the least and the lost. God didn't wait for the good times to love us. In fact, God came to us in the midst of our brokenness and sin, our struggles and our suffering, to show us just how much God loves us and promises to be with us. Neither should we wait to listen to God's life-giving word right now to us, and let it ground our lives, our faith, and our ministry in the good news of Jesus Christ, who promises to be with us always. Amen.